This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
6 Music.
The stories in music that matter. Discover our 6 Music documentaries, updated daily on BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
Right now, it's Matt Everett's The First Time with Tony Allen.
Everett, and welcome to The First Time. This is the series where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and look at the seminal first musical moments that shape their lives and their careers. Some musicians are synonymous with certain genres. They have a style, approach, and sound that shapes and then defines a musical form. This week's guest is one of those musicians. He's a drummer, and he was the unofficial musical director of the late Fela Kuti's groundbreaking band, Africa 70. He's the man who put the beat into Afrobeat. And it's fair to say that no one plays like him. No one else can play like him. Famously, Brian Eno described him as perhaps the greatest drummer who has ever lived, which is a quote that gets used all the time, but there's a reason for that. It's because it might well be true. My guest on The First Time this week is Tony Allen. Here, Tony talks about his earliest musical passions, how the emerging highlife scene in Ghana impacted upon him when he was a kid, and the influence of jazz drumming greats like Gene Krupa and Art Blakey. We, of course, discuss the formation and incredible work and legacy of his recordings with Fela Kuti and the band Africa 70. We also talk about how the political environment that started to impact on the music scene in Lagos meant his eventual move and relocation to Europe. Tony also talks about the huge list of collaborators that have sought him out, be that Damon Albarn, who enlisted him for two of his bands, both The Good, The Band, The Queen and Rocket Juice and The Moon, Charlotte Gainsbourg and the aforementioned Brian Eno. But The first question I asked Tony, as I did with all my guests, was when was the first time he was aware of music as a child?
I never thought about music as a child, you know. I was just a music lover. But I like rhythms. You know, at my place, you know, it's like every Christmas, it used to be like a kind of like a convoy of bands on the street. Because we have different ethnics in the country, you know, that performing this day, their own kind of culture. And then they're going to be passing. I'm standing in front of the house, and the rhythms are very catchy, you know. They never play the same rhythm. All of them passing, this kind of different style of patterns passing. And then we are kids, you know, sometimes we want to kind of like copy what those people have done. We can take the bottle and the wood, whatever, you know, everything. We play rhythms, just with the kids, you know, in the evening. That was it, you know. But that was just like kids playing, you know. But in my mind, I never thought I would be a musician.
What was the first piece of music that you owned that was yours? You went out and got.
It was vinyl then, you know.
Yeah.
I started to have having our High Life already. They were there, you know, High Life band, you know, from Ghana, you know, E.T. Mensah from Ghana, you know, Ramblas, you know, all those bands from Ghana. I was like a night crawler, club crawler. I always go out every night, and which could be a problem for me when I come back, you know, because my father is not going to sleep until I'm back.
Yeah.
I was just trying to check bands, live bands. I could go to three different clubs in the night. I go inside this one, I check the live band, because the clubs are not far from each other, you know?
Right.
At that time, you know, different clubs, swinging clubs, full up every night, because it's live band. And Lagos at that time was kind of 24 hours of non-stop. People are there on the road, 24 hours, okay? And it used to be very nice, so I'm checking bands. Well, my own interest with the bands at that time, my interest in the band was the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the drummer I'm watching every time.
Yeah.
I don't care about the guitarist and all these things. So,
all about the rhythm. No, all about the rhythm.
Rhythms. And then, I said, if I have to, I would think I want to play this instrument.
What was your first kit like?
My friend, I never bought kits, you know, we don't buy kits in Nigeria, you know. Nobody, no any musician has his own individual music instruments, no. Every instrument are bought by the proprietor of the club.
All right.
So if you want to play, you come and play. Yeah, you just play it and you go back home, you know, you leave the drums there. I was working, you know, I was working as a radio technician, you know, and with that, I made me had chances of listening to more records. You know, like, for instance, if I finish one radio, for instance, it's working, I pack it back, everything. I start tuning for radio stations with, you know, jazz.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who were the first jazz artists that you really kind of focused in on?
Gene Krupa.
Oh, yeah, I mean, one of the greatest drummers of all time.
Yes, you know. Gene Krupa was the first one, and really, you know, I said, oh, yeah, I need to play like this guy, you know.
Thank you.
very inquisitive about to be like him. But anyway, as time goes on, Blue Note started raining into the country. Blue Note Records, you know.
Yeah.
And then I discovered Adbleke and the Jazz Messengers.
Also amazing musicians.
Yeah. And so I saw these different styles of drumming now. I say, oh, because this guy, when I first time I heard him, it's like I was asking question about who was playing the hi-hats and the cymbals for him.
You know? Well, as if it was separate.
Yeah. I thought somebody must have been playing the hi-hats and somebody's playing the cymbal for him, and him is just on the kick and the snare.
It's just one guy. It's that thing where, like, they can do like a roll with one hand faster than most people exactly. can do with like three or four hands.
And they said, no, it's one guy. It's not, nobody's playing with him. You know, it's just, it's a guy, one guy. So then, and I compared the solo work with Jim Krupa's solo work. It's not the same at all, you know. But I prefer the Adbleke. Adbleke's approach, which is the one I really followed up later.
Those tracks you're going to want to shout about.
The ones that get stuck on repeat in your head.
We're going to help you find your new obsession. Six Music recommends.
Curated by
Lauren Laverne,
Tom Ravenscroft,
Marianne Hobbs,
Steve Lamack.
Light up your day with that moment of discovery.
Music that's excited us or stopped us in our tracks.
Music of all genres.
From artists you might not have heard about before.
Music which is enthralling, inspiring, or confusing, occasionally all at the very same time.
60 minutes of the finest new music.
Six Music recommends.
Available now on the BBC Sounds app.
Six Music.
This is
Six Music.
So we have to talk about Fela Kuti, someone who had a huge impact on your life in music. Tell me about when you very first met Fela.
No, it happens that Fela arrived in the country, you know, when he came back from studies, you know, he was working at the radio, like you, yeah. He presents records, jazz records, every Friday night. And he was doing that, and then all of a sudden he decided not to present records anymore. He wanted to play it live, meaning he's going to copy the records and play, form a quartet, and to represent all these blue notes. And so by doing that, so I was playing in that band there up there.
What were they called, that band?
The band is called Western Topaz Band, right. Western Topaz. And I was playing that band there, and so he had already tested four drummers in the country, and they were good drummers.
Yeah.
To me, they were good drummers. They were playing before me. I met all of them on the scene. So all he said was that there's no good drummer in this country. You know? He said no good drummer in this country at all. You know, so the bass player playing with him was playing, we were playing the same band. And him, he went to do the jazz program with Fela, and Fela condemning the drummers. So he told the Fela, he said, no, he said, but you should try Tony. He said, who is Tony? He said, Tony Allen. He said, in this country? He said, yes, okay. And we went to his house, and then first thing he asked me, he said, oh, they said you are a good drummer. They said, that's what the fella said to me, you know. Oh, he said, they said you are a good drummer. You could play jazz? I said, yes. And then he said, oh, and then you could play solos too. Jazz solos. I said, yes, of course. Oh, okay. And we went there, and then we arrived in the radio station, and then with the pianist, him on trumpet, and the bass, and me. So, and he wanted us to play one of those 12 bar blues. He said, we play 12 bar blues. Do you know how to play 12 bar blues? I said, yes. So he asked me, he said, where did I learn how to play drums? Where? America or England or anywhere? I said, no. I never moved my ass out of this country yet. This is, everything was here. Ah, okay. So he said, please, we should keep this on. I should be part of him, please. And he said, intended to form a high life band, but him, he doesn't want to play high life like others.
Yeah.
He wanted to have his own way of high life that is going to be kind of fused with jazz and high life. I said, yeah. Then he said, but whenever he's ready, he would like me to be the drummer that is going to be working with him.
You seem to have a very good creative relationship with Fela, and you did these incredible records, but it also seemed to be a certain amount of friction at times as well. It seemed to be both things. Is that right?
Yeah.
So musically, as you say, you're doing great work, and yeah. Africa 70 is amazing music,
yeah.
But difficulties, yeah?
Difficulties of, you know, it's financial difficulties. It's just a question of... somebody wants to run his own government the way, you know, and you know, it's you cannot change their mind, you know, when they have, he's the leader of the band, is everything is named under him, you know, it's Fela and some Kuti, you know, so it's question of take it or leave it,
yeah,
you understand? So, but if I don't want to leave it, means that I have to face all the blues. The blues that was there.
Hmm.
Okay, so because I know one thing, that playing with this guy is making me feel better. Feel better by knowing that at least I have something I could play. Nobody plays like me in the country at that time anymore, because I've gone clear completely, you know.
Yeah.
And with that, so if I quit this band now, if I quit, felt like that, okay. No, because financially things were too crazy, you know, because I've left, my father always said, don't leave certainty for the uncertainty, you know. And that's what I've done. I've left certainty for the uncertainty. So I don't want to go back, you know.
Yeah.
I want to face the uncertainty to make it certain, you know. So, then I have to face the blues, you know. So I didn't care about the money, because, you know, I still have my parents, you know. So even if I have any blues, I can still go get some help from them, you know. So it was like that. So I just faced it. I just faced the music, because this guy has it.
Mm.
He's the only one in the whole country. I don't see nobody, no. I don't see anybody. I've played with many bands before I met Fela, you know. So with him, I said, I've reached the end of it now. I got to stay here. If I really want to be what I wish myself to be, it's here. It's here that I will be able to get it, you know. And him happens to be a very good composer, that every of his composition is like a challenge, you know, which I loved. You know,
I've got to ask you about playing with Ginger Baker, because there's someone who's come from like a traditional, well, jazz and then rock in the 70s, and then found something in the rhythms of your world and kind of threw himself into it, famous for being absolutely crackers, right?
Ginger?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ginger has his own approach completely. You know, like you said, it's from rock to jazz, jazz to rock, whatever, you know. He still maintains that. But, and then it's because he had traveled in Africa a lot, he tried to play with the traditional drummers, you know, a lot. And he has many traditional instruments himself. He bought enough. So, he was trying to kind of fuse the African drumming, African rhythms that, you know, him to his, he was trying to play, fuse it, like, you know, when he's soloing, for instance, his solo is a mixture of rhythms, Ghana cultural rhythms and things like that, you know, he could mix them, you know. Well, he has his own different approach, you know. But he was using double bass drum, double kicking, you know.
Mm.
I don't use double bass drum, but I know quite all right that whatever he's doing on the double bass drum kick, pedals, I could do it on one. I knew that quite all right, and that was what I invented myself. I could play double pedal. I could play it on one single web pedal. I don't need double bass drum. But him, he uses double and plus many drums. I just need my normal kit, you know? And you could hear what you think that it could be like, how many people playing it, you know? That's what I invented for myself, you know?
Unless you tell him to go.
Zombie
not go stop unless you tell him to stop.
Zombie
not go turn unless you tell him to turn.
Zombie
not go think unless you tell him to think.
Zombie
not go go unless you tell him to go.
Zombie
not go stop unless you tell him to stop.
Zombie
not go turn unless you tell him to turn.
Zombie
not go think unless you tell him to think.
Zombie.
Tell him to go straight. Ajoro jar ajoro. No break, no jam, no sense. Ajoro jar ajoro. Tell him to go kill. Ajoro jar ajoro. No break, no jam, no sense. Ajoro jar ajoro. Tell him to go quench. Ajoro jar ajoro. No break, no jam, no sense. Ajoro jar ajoro. Go and kill.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and die.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and quench.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Put up all the verse.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and quench.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and kill.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and die.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Put up all the verse.
Ajoro jar ajoro.
Go and die. Joro jara joro, zombie when I want way. Joro jara joro, zombie when I want way. Joro jara joro. Order. Ho! Attention.
Zombie.
Quick match. Slow match.
Zombie.
Left on. Right
zombie.
On. Back on. Double
zombie.
On. Salute. Open your hand. Stand at ease. Fall in.
Zombie.
Fall out. Fall
zombie.
Down. Get ready. Attention.
Zombie.
Quick match. Slow match.
Zombie.
Left on. Right
zombie.
On. Back on. Double
zombie.
On. Salute. Open your hand.
You're listening to The First Time on 6 Music, and my guest this week is Afrobeat drumming legend Tony Allan. And we'll be back with more from Tony, talking about collaborating with Damon Albarn and why his playing makes such an impact on people, all after the 6 Music news.
6 Music.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
BBC News at 2:30, I'm Nikki Cardwell. A new smartphone app designed to trace people's contacts with coronavirus sufferers is to be tested this week. It'll be trialled on the Isle of Wight with the hope that it can be distributed more widely later this month once lockdown is eased. The Shadow Home Secretary, Nick Thomas-Simmons, is cautious. The Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said people could be asked to stagger their working hours to avoid crowded rush hour trains once they return to work. He said it would not be business as usual, even once restrictions have been eased. The Confederation of British Industry says business groups and major employers have received draft guidance from the government today on the safe return to work. The British Chambers of Commerce has written to the Prime Minister asking him to be bold with his decisions. Spain has recorded its lowest number of daily deaths linked to coronavirus since the country went into lockdown in the middle of March. Another 164 people there have died. South Korea is trying to establish whether North Korean soldiers fired four shots across the country's border as a deliberate act of provocation, or if it was an accident. A South Korean military official said the weather had been foggy at the time and it could have been a mistake. Spain has reported its lowest daily number of deaths linked to coronavirus since it introduced a lockdown in mid-March. That's 164 fatalities. Adults have been allowed to exercise outdoors this weekend for the first time since their lockdown began several weeks ago. And the former Monty Python star Sir Michael Palin says ministers should review their advice to older people when they begin easing restrictions. Over 70s have been told to have particularly stringent measures.
This is BBC Radio 6
Music.
Now on BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 6
Music.
So we'll make love in the grass and die the moon. No one can tell, don't if I do. A forever journey in golden avenues. Drift in your eyes, what's inside of you?
Welcome back, I'm Matt Everett, and this is the first time on 6 Music, where we look at the key first musical moments in an artist's career, and my guest this week is Tony Allen, and that was Le Ritournel by Sébastien Tellier from his 2004 album Politics, a song featuring Tony's always amazing drumming. Going back to the mid-80s, Tony, who had lived, worked and played in Lagos for the whole of his career, decided to make a move.
Well, what made me to take that decision to, okay, I want to take off from this country, was because of that the nightlife died.
Right.
The nightlife died. Government changing and become military, business, police, military.
Mm.
Nightlife died.
Yeah.
Because people don't go out anymore. Because if you go out in the night, you are going, you face too many checkpoints,
right.
Police, army, before you even, and every checkpoint you have to give money to the police or to the army.
So it really damaged the music.
It damaged the whole nightlife. You know, people cannot go out anymore. If they manage to go out, if they manage to be in there, in the club before all the checkpoints start, they won't come back home. After they have to wait till 6 a.m. to be able to. So checkpoints gone, and then that's when everybody will start going back home or going to work. They go to work from the club, you know. It was becoming too much crazy, you know. So then I started coming in here and going back, you know, coming and going with sign. I came to sign publishing in France. So I did. I came to France, I signed the contract and went back to Lagos again. Yeah, because I wasn't sure yet if I really want to stay in Europe. I was not really too sure yet, you know. So I went back again. You know, to Lagos, you know, I stayed about 6 months in Lagos again, kind of. Then one day I said, okay, I'm going now. I ain't coming back. And I told my family over there that I'm going now, and whatever it takes for me to stay there, to be really stable and campaign my work. I said, it's what I'm going to do.
Secret agent, you. secret agent you
right now, bring the dance floor through your front door and liven up your lockdown. Six Music, stay at home, rave safe.
That's right, we're throwing us a party.
And your name's down, you're definitely getting in.
We're having it.
Kitchen discos, backyard bangers, dance halls and dining room DJs. Let off some steam with a series of shows made to make you move.
Bundles and Boogie,
Northern Soul,
Hip Hop,
Classic Funk,
come on,
Disco,
House,
R&B.
This bank is everywhere.
We're here to represent all corners of club culture.
The sounds and producers at the cutting edge.
The electronic pioneers.
Six Music, stay at home, rave safe. Let these stay at home sounds set you free.
Get all the shows on BBC Sounds.
Six Music.
This is Six Music.
Sometimes when I do these interviews, there's like one question that you kind of always have to ask a musician. And there's one thing that always people always mention when they mention your name. They always mention the Brian Eno quote. They always mention the quote from Brian Eno saying he's perhaps the greatest drummer that ever lived. Can you remember first hearing that quote? Because it's a lovely thing to say about someone.
Because, you know, I never read it myself. I never heard it. You know, I just all of a sudden, people were just telling me this. They said, Brian Eno said so. When everybody was coming, and they said, oh, yeah, they said you are this. I said, where did you get that? Where did you read it? I never read it myself. And so at this point, you know, I was having other musicians wanting to collaborate with me, to collaborate with them, and like Charlotte Gainsbourg. This French band called Air, and these are very strange bands for me to, for them to be inviting me for on their own project, you know. Why? It's just because they wanted me to just play myself.
Mm. Yeah, sure sound.
Yeah, play myself, and they want to find the nucleus together. Well, so that made, until I just saw, I never met Brian Eno.
Really?
Before, at that time. You know, so I just saw Brian Eno twice now in my life. One day I was featuring with one band at the Jazz Cafe. He knew I was going to be there, so he came. He was waiting for me to arrive. And I arrived at the front door there, and I met him. And I said, Brian Eno. I said, oh, yeah? I said, you wrote that thing about me. Yeah, he said, of course, yes. Is it not true? He asked me, is it not true? I said, I wouldn't know.
Not for me to say.
I wouldn't know, but I said, I'm just trying my best. Oh, he said, don't come off it. Come off it. You are. Okay, thank you. But me, I knew quite well that I never finished yet because I am still learning. I'm exploring. And there's no end to it. That's the way I look at it. You know, I like to improve myself every time. I like to do something I never did. I always try to challenge myself. When I can write rhythms on the computer that I never played before, just as a reminder, and I know quite right, I'm going to have to play it, really. On machine is machine. Well, I need to, what I wrote there, it's complex, you know, so I need to put it together. So that's what I do, you know. I write something that I never played before to go and face it, to make me, okay. It's exercise, you know, to make it flowing.
I have to ask you about first meeting Damon Albarn, because we interviewed him for this show and he said he was on a TV show and was very drunk and ended up hugging you during a performance. Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah, no, that was something. But you see, people thought that would be the end of him and me. People thought so at the program.
Because you've got a really close relationship now, haven't you, musically?
You see, to me, you know, all what happened on that TV show, that my musicians couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it. My musicians couldn't stand it. But I was just laughing. I was just laughing throughout the program. You know, it's laughing. I was just laughing too much, you know, because he was drunk, you know, and he came to hug me instead of coming to sing, you know, he was hugging me behind, you know, and the producer was getting mad, you know, all this was TV show, you know, and then, but this guy, when he did that, I was not offended at all. I just know that this is a character that I think I like this character. I don't care about whatever. I just like him. He thought, well, probably maybe that would be the end of the everything. No.
It was the start of something.
No. His wife was asking me that day, are you cool? I said, very. Very, very cool.
Thank you.
Why, as characters and musicians, do you think you work so well together?
He's a good composer. He's a good composer. He's somewhere that's searching all the time. He's somewhere that never stop. And that's what I like about him. He never stop. He never stop creating different things, you know. Yeah, if you have this type of mentality, it makes things move for everybody, you know. And we went to Lagos. We went to audition the musicians there for the first time 5 days, and then we came back, and then we went for the recordings for 2 weeks in Lagos. Took all the studio from here to Lagos, you know, set it up inside Decca studio with all these engineers from here, you know. They set it up, and then the recording started, you know, and recording for 2 weeks with the local musicians there, local artists there. And we have done this record for 2 weeks, and it's done, and every instrument packed back in London. He just said, oh, Tony, just call me in Paris. He said, Tony, oh, you know, I'm not sure we are going to use this record. I'm not sure we are going to. I said, why? Because it was very creative. The many creative things were there, you know, and he wrote very good songs. He said, no. He said, because he just imagined how he's going to put this band on the road, you know, because most of the artists are more in Nigeria. And just few of us in Europe here. How's he going to put this on the road? It's going to be like 18-piece band. It was too much, really. if they're all living in Europe, cool. But they're living in Africa. It's going to be difficult to be on the road. So he said, let's forget it. He said, let's continue doing something else, you know. Meaning, I have to be in London every week. In the studio, writing for, and then we went to bring. We have tested different bass players, whilst writing to make the Goodie Band the Queen, and every time Damon is not satisfied with the bass players, and we are talking about the good bass players of England here. Those were some of them that had names. It was not satisfied every time after the session in the studio. When they finished, they said, "Oh, Tony," he said. That bass, you know, it's not coping with it. He went to fish out Paul Simonon.
Yeah.
Paul Simonon that was not playing at all for 15 years, you know. 15 years is, you know, not playing bass anymore. He was just painting. So he went to fish him out, and then he dragged him on, you know, and then like that, you know, then, okay. His starting point again, but I mean, he's a musician, you know, he knows what it is, chord wise, everything. So, like that, we started to work together, and then we started to record the Goodie Band the Queen.
And it just worked.
And it went well. And then we promoted it.
And the final thing, we're going to ask you to pick a song that we'll finish the interview with. What song should we play?
Play something that kind of like, moving on.
Why that song?
Yeah, because that explains why whatever this music sounds like to them. It's just like I'm still on a trip, you know. I'm moving on, you know, not stopping.
It's good to speak to you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Was Moving On, taken from the 2014 album Film of My Life, recorded by my guest here on The First Time This Week, Tony Allen. If you enjoyed the show, you might be interested to know that right now on the BBC Sounds app, there's a First Time podcast. And if you subscribe, you can listen to other First Time shows featuring Tom York, Chris Cornell, Florence and the Machine, Elton John, Dave Grohl, and many, many more. I've been Matt Everett. Thanks for listening.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
BBC Radio 6 Music.
6 Music.
Right now, it's Guy Garvey's Finest Hour.
Guy Garvey's Finest Hour. Listening is doing your duty.
This programme was recorded before the tragic news of Afrobeat legend Tony Allen's death. I'll be paying tribute to him next week.